Angela Sloan is an investment advisor and representative of Sloan Financial Group, LLC. Investment and advisory services are offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC. MAS is a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC. MAS and Sloan Financial are not affiliated companies.
It's time for The Retirement Architect with Angela Sloan of Sloan Financial Group. This is the show for you. If you're a retiree or approaching retirement and you want to make sure your financial plan has a solid foundation, get ready to learn how to design your own retirement blueprint. Here's Angela.
Hello out there in Radio Land. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. As you know, there's been a lot of events happening here lately, and I wanted to spend today talking about some of those recent events, and I wanted to recap some of the Black Swan events that we've seen in the past. And you go, Black Swan lady, what are you talking about? You're not a bird lady, you're a retirement lady. Well, a Black Swan event is one of those things that you don't see every day. It's like you don't see a Black Swan every day. In fact, nobody thought one existed until they were discovered in Australia. Only place in the world they've ever been seen. But we're seeing these not-so-normal events happening more and more often. And I want to kind of go back in time and recap some of those just to give you an idea of exactly what a Black Swan event is. So think about Black Tuesday. That was October 29th, 1929. And it's often cited as the beginning of the Great Depression. The Dow fell by 12% and dramatically ended a long time period of irrational exuberance in the market. And people lost more money than they ever thought they could have ever lost. And you had people jumping out of windows and committing suicide and shooting their brokers. And how did it pan out? Well, it panned out by having the Great Depression. And if you didn't have to live through it, then be thankful. And I remember my grandmother being a Depression baby. I don't care what conversation you had with her, everything referred back to that Depression. She'd say, I remember that Depression. I remember what we went through. These people never forgot what they went through. It was a horrible time. Another Black Swan event was the dot-com crash. That one started around April 14th of the year 2000. The tech bubble started to burst and send the markets into a downturn. And, you know, people lost again mega amounts of money. And how did that pan out? Well, the bear market was a long one, and it was excruciating. And it didn't bottom out until the fall of 2002 on the dot-com. But what happened in the middle of all that was September 17th, 2001. It was the first day of trading after the September 11th attacks, and it represented the third largest single day decline ever in history. And interestingly, it was a crash within a crash, because we were already trending downward because of the dot-com burst. And we were already in a downward spiral, and then those planes fly into that building, and it just kind of pushed us on over the edge. So how did it pan out? Well, it took about 30 days for the market to recover and to get back its previously scheduled dot-com decline. So we continue on a downward trend for a while longer, but the decline right after September 11th was noticeably sharper than what we were experiencing just because of the dot-com bubble burst. So that was another Black Swan event. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw those planes, you know, going through a building. And I want you to understand, you can look at the charts and the technical indicators and the graphs, and you can do that all day long. It's the things you don't see on those charts and graphs and technical indicators that are usually Black Swan events. Okay, it's the things you don't see coming that get you. Then in 2008, September 29th of 2008 was the biggest single decline ever in market history. Following the collapse of Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns, the housing crisis, a congressional rejection of the early proposal for a bank bailout plan, October 15th of the same year was a close second. After a very bad retail sales report and a weak forecast from the Fed, you know, we had, you know, another very bad day in the market. So how did all that pan out? Well, the market continued to decline for another 6 months before it started to recover. And of course, you know, you had the housing prices were in the toilet, so everything went down. Your bonds went down, your stocks went down, your real estate prices went down, everything went down. So, you know, if you thought you were diversified, all of a sudden you found out diversification doesn't always work. And then in 2011, August 8th, 2011, we had the credit crisis. The market took another big hit after Standard & Poor's announced that they were going to downgrade the United States credit rating. How did that pan out? Who would have thought that could have ever happened? Well, the downturn proved to be fairly short, and the market quickly returned to its path of recovery where it had been trying to bounce back since the 2008 crisis. But that was still one of those black swan events that we had to work our way through. And now what do we have? We have Brexit. And for y'all that don't know what Brexit means, it's British exit. It's the British exiting the European Union. So now we have the most recent example here. The UK voted to exit the European Union, and it sent the world markets into a tailspin. So how is all that going to pan out? It's really hard to say at this point. But if you don't have a plan in place to help you navigate those events, there's no time like the present to make it happen. And I want you to think about the backlash of Brexit. The British said, okay, we're tired of not being able to control our borders. They never went to the euro. In my opinion, that tells me they never really intended to stay, because every country that intended to stay went to the euro for their currency. The British kept their own currency so that they could keep control. So they never lost control of their currency. It made it much easier for them to exit. So they're saying, okay, we want to control our borders and we want to control our money. Well, the Britons are going to have to negotiate, they're going to have to renegotiate all of their trade agreements with the rest of Europe. And you say, well, you know, the rest of Europe's not going to be too kind to them. They're not necessarily going to let the Britons have their way. And you also have Northern Ireland and Scotland, who wants to pull away from the United Kingdom at this point. What's it going to mean to them? Because both of those countries are, you know, especially Ireland, is in very bad shape financially. And what are they going to do without Big Brother to prop them up? What are they going to do without the United Kingdom if they decide to pull out? And, you know, I'm not as concerned about Britain, because I think Britain will be okay in the long term, even negotiating the trade contracts. They're still, the European Union's going to need them because of another black swan event that might be right around the corner, and that's the Italian bank crisis. The Italian banks have never recovered since 2008. In fact, things have gotten worse for them. They have four times the bad debt now than they had in 2008. And they assembled a team of 700 people to gather all this bad debt and try to house it in one place and figure out what to do with it. So, you know, they're trying to liquidate some of the collateral, but, you know, my common sense tells me if you liquidate the collateral, which is probably mostly real estate, what are they going to do with it? You know, who are they going to sell it to? Who has the money to buy it? How are they going to liquidate it? So I don't know that the rest of Europe is in a position to not give the British what they're asking for in renegotiating their trade deals. It's going to take a long time for this to pan out, folks. This is not going to be an overnighter. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, right about the time of Brexit, Germany also went into a negative interest rate environment. And that's something we don't want to happen here. So I want to remind you, when you open your bank statement and you see that your interest rate was 0.0001, praise the good Lord, is not a negative, okay? Because it could very well be a negative. So just be thankful it's not a negative. So here's what I want to offer you. Like I told you, there's no time like the present to get a plan in place. Call us if you have any questions. Set up an appointment. I will give you my time. If you tell Lori that you heard this on the radio, I will give you at least an hour of my time to help you put a plan in place. You can call us at 803-222-2892. You can go to our website at sloanfinancial.net, or you can email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk about some economic and demographic statistics. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Attention, business owners. You're probably paying too much personal income tax. Tax Law Solutions has helped business owners permanently reduce personal income taxes by 20 to 40%. Call 787-200-3359. That's 787-200-3359, or online at taxlawsolutions.net.
I need an architect who's as good as I was.
I've got somebody better.
Yep, we do have somebody better. The best retirement architect around. Her name is Angela Sloan. Let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. We've talked about some of the black swan events and some of the things that's going on today. I want to take a few minutes and talk about some economic and demographic statistics. So I want you to just think about your gut reaction when you hear these statistics. And I want you to think about what implications they have for you. I want you to think about your world. How does this affect you? The first one, only 22% of people in their 50s describe themselves as very confident that they'll have enough money in retirement. 22% feel like they have saved enough for their retirement. So those in their 50s, I want you to think about, how does that affect you? How confident are you that you've saved enough for retirement? And if you're not sure, you need to give us a call. Another statistic, 47% of baby boomers plan to rely on Social Security as their primary income source in retirement. So number two, 47% of boomers plan to rely on Social Security as their primary income source in retirement. Are you planning for that to be your primary income source? And if so, what's your plan B? What if Social Security don't make it? What if they push your retirement age to, say, age 70, 71, or 72? What if they cut your benefits because they don't have a choice? So, folks, if you're planning only on Social Security as your primary income, you might want to rethink that. And I can remember myself, my attitude towards Social Security is, I'm not counting it as part of my plan at all. That way, if I get there and Social Security's there, I've got a bonus. And if it's not there, then it's no skin off my nose because I didn't plan on it anyway. I think people are looking at that totally backward. So if you're one of those who are planning to rely on Social Security as your primary income source for your retirement, you definitely need to give us a call. Another statistic, the average 65-year-old woman has a life expectancy of 20 years or more. Now, that's a statistic. So that means the average 65-year-old woman will live to be age 85. Now, I want to tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing them make it to 90 and over. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that here in my practice. And, you know, early on in my career, when we would be planning for retirement, we were taught in school, you plan on living 7 to 10 years in retirement. Nobody ever thought that money was going to have to last 20-plus years. And I've seen cases where people have lived longer in retirement than they actually worked. Are you prepared for that to happen? And I know I've heard them all. I'll just take a gun to my head and kill myself, and I'll just drive off a cliff. And sometimes things happen where you don't have enough mind about you to do that. You wake up happy and in a new world every day because you have Alzheimer's. So that's not always an option. And then another statistic is that 13% of our country's population is already over the age of 65. The baby boomers have just scratched that, folks. So there's more and more people turning age 65 every single day. So we are an aging society, and it's not just here. It's the same in Europe. So how is all this crisis going to be solved if all of us are retiring? Another statistic, 45% of Americans have saved nothing for retirement. I also can relate to this because I see that also. And I'll give you an example. I had a guy who come in. Now, he had saved. He had a whopping, you know, $75,000 in his retirement plan. But he was going to go ahead and retire early. He was going to retire when he was 59 and a half. And he was going to do a reverse mortgage. And the more we talked, I found out that he lived in a double-wide trailer that was not even on a foundation. He argued with me, and I said, I tell you what, let me know how that works out for you. Because I can tell you, that plan is not going to do it, guys. So you've got to be realistic in your thinking. Another statistic, the average retiree will spend $218,000 out of pocket for medical expenses over the course of their retirement. So the average person will spend $218,000 on out-of-pocket medical expenses during their retired years. Now, this counts Medicare premium, Medicare supplement premium, co-pays, deductibles. That counts everything. It also counts an average on long-term care. I can tell you that the government is not prepared to pay for all of our long-term care through Medicaid. That's not why Medicaid was created. $218,000 may turn out to be a low number. So you better have in place some kind of plan to help take care of those out-of-pocket medical expenses, some type of long-term care plan in place. And I'll tell you something that I've noticed. My husband and I bought a condo in Sarasota, Florida, and I noticed there's some older ladies who don't drive, and they call a taxi to pick them up and take them to the grocery store. They have to call a taxi for everything. And you better have some kind of funds factored in when you get to the point that you can't drive anymore. What's your cost of transportation going to be? I met with a lady on Thursday evening. I drove to her home. She's been a client here for 10 plus years. She and her husband moved here from Florida. He passed away. I find out for the first time on Thursday evening that she does not drive. And the reason I found it out was because he had died, and she made the comment to my receptionist that her daughter-in-law has to come all the way from Iron Station to Fort Mill, pick her up, and bring her down here to Clover. And I said, that's ridiculous. I'll go to her. I rarely ever do that, but this is a very good client. And I went to her, and I asked her, how many years have you not driven? And she says, I've never driven. She had never in her life had a driver's license. She just turned 80 years old. What are the odds that she's going to go get a driver's license, folks? So I said, okay, if your daughter-in-law is all the way in Iron Station, how do you get around? Well, I go to church. I ride to church with this neighbor over here, and this neighbor on the other side of me calls me. When she's going to the grocery store, she'll call me and see if I need anything or if I want to ride with her. I can't think of anything worse than being dependent on somebody else for your transportation. So when she needs to go to the doctor, either her daughter-in-law has to come get her or somebody from church will come and get her and take her to a doctor's appointment. And I tell you, that is not a good way to live. So you better have some kind of plan factored in. What are you going to do for transportation when that time comes? And that's a part of your out-of-pocket medical, really. I mean, it really is. And then another statistic, the last one I'll go over, is that 81% of retirees say that a retirement plan is very important, yet only 18% actually have one. Now that is downright spooky, folks. 81% of you say it's important, but only 18% of you have actually put a plan together. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that the rest of you are sticking your head in the sand. You don't want to face it. And you know, Scripture tells us that you don't go build the building unless you've laid out all the cost and you've taken all the cost into account. You better have a plan in place. You can deal with something if you know it's coming. It's what you don't know coming is coming that it will knock you down like a freight train. And that's what you don't want to happen. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to address some questions that we've received and go over some real life situations. If you would like to talk to us, you can call us at 803-222-2892. You can email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. Please contact us, especially if you don't have a plan in place. If you have questions on any of the items that we've talked about, I'll do everything in my power to help you. This is Angela Sloan, the Retirement Income Architect. Be back in a moment.
Who are you?
I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
She might not be the architect of the Matrix, but she can be the architect of your retirement plan. Let's get back to the show. Here's Angela Sloan.
Welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, the Retirement Architect. I promised you some listener questions, and we want to cover at least three. I have Charles and Shelby, who sent us an email, and he said, with so much market uncertainty, is this a good time to buy bonds? I'm not going to say that bonds shouldn't be a part of your portfolio, but the interest rates are so low right now. The Fed 10-year Treasury rate's about 1.4, and you say, well, shoot, that's better than the bank. It is, but as you know, it can be part of a diversified portfolio, but there have been several times in history, last year being one of them, 2008 being another, there have been several times here in the last 10 to 15 years where stocks and bonds went down at the same time. And what affects bonds is your interest rate. So if interest rates rise, your bonds will drop in value. So maybe bonds should be a part of your portfolio. I don't know that this would necessarily be a good time to buy bonds. I think one question is, do you think interest rates are going to go down? The Feds have told us they're going to go up. So, you know, I don't think it's a good time and the interest rates are so low. But at the same time, what are your other options? And I can tell you that it's not going to keep up with inflation. So I don't know that I'd call it a good time to buy bonds, but you know, what other choices might you have? That's where we need to sit down with you, Charles, in person and go over what all your options are, because I think you're selling yourself short. You're not mentioning any other options here, and there are a lot of other options for you. So, Charles, email us where you emailed us before at info@sloanfinancial.net, and I'll be glad to help you. Then Elizabeth in Charlotte, she said that she recently had a REIT proposed as an investment. She said, is this an investment I should consider? What are your thoughts on these? Well, I don't have enough information, and I know y'all probably get sick of hearing me say that, but I just need more information. Is it a privately traded REIT or a publicly traded REIT? If it's publicly traded, then it can follow the market. Then I want to know what kind of real estate does it hold. You know, is it apartment buildings? Is it shopping malls? You know, I don't particularly care for the ones that have shopping malls. You know, apartments can or maybe not be a good thing. I need more information on what this REIT actually holds. And I'll give you an example of one that I saw a long time ago. It was, in fact, it was right prior to 2008, and 2008 just pushed it on over the edge. But it was a REIT that held golf courses and theme parks. And I laughed at it. I said, man, you know, if things get tough, the golf courses and the theme parks are going to suffer. And that was a joke when I said it. Well, lo and behold, it happened. 2008 come around, and you know, it's still in existence, but it's worth about half of what it was still today. So, you know, these can be your best friend or your worst enemy. You have to know how to shop them. And if you're really wanting to do this, Elizabeth, give me a call and I'll take you through, give you some lessons on how to shop for these and what to look out for and the ins and outs of them. Be glad to do that for you. So, you know, give us a call and I'll be glad to go over that. David in Rock Hill said, when I look at how long people in my family have lived, it probably makes sense for me to wait a few years to start my Social Security. But I just really want to start taking it now that I'm eligible. I want it now. Maybe to be sure that I get something out of it before it goes belly up. Am I being too emotional about this? David, taking it before your full retirement age can be very costly, especially if you're still working. So if you start drawing Social Security at age 62, because you didn't tell me how old you are, so I'm going to say, okay, if you're age 62 and you start drawing Social Security, couple of issues. One, you're gonna take a reduction of benefit. You're going to take a 25% reduction in benefit. Two, if you're still working and you make over the annual limit, you're going to be penalized $1 for every $2 over that limit. And I'm thinking that limit right now, I'm talking off the top of my head, at somewhere around 15.7, somewhere in that ballpark. So if you make over that limit, you're penalized $1 for every $2 that you make over the limit. Then it goes to your tax return. If you're still working, 85% of it could be taxable at your ordinary tax rate. So by the time you take in the 25% reduction and the fact that you could be penalized $1 for every $2 and the fact that it's going to be taxable, you're giving up half of it at least, depending on your tax bracket. So it's probably not a good idea for you to start drawing it early, and it follows you wherever you go. And here's my take on Social Security. I don't have all your information. I don't have your age. I don't know if you're married. I don't know if your wife works. I don't know what her age is. If you contact us, David, I need page 2 and page 3 of your Social Security statement. I can map out the best way for you and your wife both to draw Social Security. So you need a Social Security plan in place. I plug this into a piece of software, and it tells us where you're going to get the maximum of Social Security. What method do you use? When do you start? Whose pot do you start on? Do you draw off yours? Do you draw off your wife? How does she draw? So this report will be a complete report of the best way for you to draw your Social Security. So contact us, 803-222-2892. Or email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. Be glad to help you with any of these issues or any other issues you might have. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. We'll be back in a moment to wrap it up with some costly mistakes that we see retirees make.
Attention, business owners. Permanently and dramatically reduce your personal income taxes by 20 to 40% this year and for years to come. In America, there are two tax systems, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. Both are legal. Call Tax Law Solutions today to find out if you're paying too much. Call 787-200-3359. That's 787-200-3359 or online at taxlawsolutions.net.
You're listening to The Retirement Architect. Here's Angela Sloan.
And we're back for the final part of our show. I promised you we were going to cover costly mistakes. So let's talk about some costly mistakes that I constantly see people make as they're approaching retirement. One costly mistake is investing at age 59 the same way that you invested at age 39. Folks, you're older, you're closer to retirement, and the closer you get to retirement, the less risk you should take. Now, I know you've heard it said that 59's the new 39, and I can vouch for that. All you gotta do is look at me. 59's the new 39, okay? But in all sincerity, you have to reduce your risk as you age, as you get older, as you get closer to retirement, because you don't have another lifetime to make it back. So please, don't be investing the same way at age 59 that you were investing at age 39. You're still working, we have a 401k tool that we can allow you to use that will take into account your demographics, your age, your risk tolerance, and it will tell you on your 401k how to diversify that 401k given your age, okay? So give us a call, I'll be glad to give you access to that. Another costly mistake is starting Social Security without a plan or a strategy. All right, that was a question that we received from David in Rock Hill, and I just went over that. You have to have a Social Security plan in place. What is the best way for you and your spouse as a combination? What's the best way to draw Social Security to maximize the benefit? And most people don't realize you can draw from an ex-spouse, a dead spouse, the current spouse. Folks, you have to know what all your options are. And I always go back to the story of my receptionist here who had been married three times, and having a casual conversation with her, we were talking about a statistic that I had read of how many women are widowed twice by age 65. And she raised her hand and she said, me. And I said, you were widowed twice? And she said, yes. Well, in the conversation, it came out that her first husband died at age 39. He was a doctor. And when we started doing some research, found out that even though she had been married two times more, she was able to draw off the first husband's Social Security, and it gave her twice as much income as if she had drawn off her own. And had we not had that conversation, she would have never known that she could do that. Folks, there are so much monies left on the table because people just don't understand all the different strategies of drawing Social Security, and you need to have your plan in place. So please give us a call and we'll help you map that out. Another one, and Lord knows we see this all the time. We do, off the top of my head, probably somewhere to the tune of about 1,500 tax returns every year. And we see people all the time focus on the tax preparation. All they're concerned about is getting that 1040 done. But they don't focus on any of the tax planning until something bad happens on the tax return. And then you've got their attention. You tell them they owe the IRS a big bill and it straightens out their rectum, and all of a sudden their brain starts working. So, folks, I'm telling you, you got to do tax planning, not just tax preparation. The taxes can be the biggest hole in your pocket if you don't plan correctly. Another mistake, assuming that health care needs will be covered by Medicare. There are copays, there are deductibles. You got to know the best strategy for you when it comes to your Medicare. Do you have a supplement? Do you need a supplement? Can you use your employer's plan that, you know, maybe they have something for retirees, and it might, even though it may cost a little more than a regular supplement, it might cover your prescription medications without having to worry about the donut hole. So there's a lot of things that you need to understand about Medicare and how it works. How's the best way to shop for a Medicare supplement is the other thing, and that's another thing that we do. We shop for that. And last but not least, is taking on additional risk to make up for lost time. And that goes back up to number one that we covered, which is investing at age 59 the same way you did at age 39. Trying to take additional risk because, oh, now I got to make up for lost time. Maybe you still haven't recovered from 2008. I've seen some of that because people sat on the sidelines too long and didn't know what to do. But you can't take additional risk. The money that you have saved, you have to know that money is going to be there no matter what. And you have to ask yourself, am I willing to take additional risk and take the chance that I'll wake up tomorrow and we've had another black swan event, now I have half of what I thought I was going to have? I think that's just a dumb thing to do, because you know what you know. about what the money that you have, and that money has to be there. You need to look at your options for making up that lost time. I don't think taking additional risk is the way to go for that. So if there's any of these items that you need help with, please give us a call or email us. It's 803-222-2892, or you can email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in today, and we will see you next week.